Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Creative Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined, as always, on Fridays by my friend Rich Rebar from Sharp Football. We pick our five favorite games against the spread. Our number one, well, my number one last week, the Kansas City Chiefs, never in doubt. Very lucky that the Chargers backdoor cover was not a Sunday game, because that would have been on my list for sure. So I do a picks contest with Sammy Reed, and he was texting me all day. We can't take the Chiefs, bro. We can't take the Chiefs. And I'm like, look, we're taking the Chiefs. We are not taking the Chargers in this spot. And boy, did I feel dumb on that one.
Yeah, it was rough last night. I mean, because one, the Chargers probably should have just outright won the game.
Oh, they were so much better.
They shouldn't even need a backdoor cover. They should just outright won the game. So yeah, it was definitely probably more the little bit of the line juice from week one that the Chiefs just absolutely.
Well,
shout out to
noted point shaver Gerald Everett.
Woo! I forgot about that. We did have that take on the main event podcast, and
yes,
here we go again. You're right. I didn't even connect those dots.
It's on Herbert a little bit. I was just saying this on TV. It's on Herbert a little bit, because you could see them talking before that snap. Because Everett's like, dude, I am gassed. Like, I got to get off the field.
Yeah, he tried calling the game.
And Herbert goes, one more. And then, I mean, you know, that's total. Like, I'm 30 years old. I'm an old man now. So, like, I know the feeling of being gassed and, like, please don't call at me. But Herbert's 23. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what it's like to be gassed. So he's like, all right, I'm juicing the ball in there to you, buddy.
I mean, he was gassed at the end of that game when he couldn't breathe. You know, it was so insane. He had that one play where he could scramble out, and he was so hurt that he just like threw the ball away and then immediately throws just like a absolute laser beam 30 yards down the field with DeAndre Carter the next play. It was just insane.
Yeah. All right, man. So we got this week. It's kind of a gross DFS slate, because all the good teams are on the primetime games, which is, you know, whatever.
Which is weird, because which is fun, because typically most DFS honks love week two DFS,
yes,
because it's like the buy back in week, like overreaction week. But like all the good teams are off the slate.
Yes. Which you know, I mean, that's all, it's like when you got some $9,900 Cooper Kupp, you gotta make some tough choices. So let's get into it. Who is your number five?
My five, and it's only because the spread is so big, is the Broncos, with it being 10. And this is really just kind of like a thesis play.
Couldn't agree more.
Backing the Broncos at home. They have this weird like historical advantage early in the season when teams travel to Mile High. Since 2008, they're 15-3 straight up against the spread in weeks one or two at home, and 10-5-3 against the spread. So I'm just going to follow that trend, like teams heading. And I believe the Texans are legitimately terrible. And the Broncos are one of those teams, like they lost that game to Seattle, but like they should have scored 40 points in that game. You know, two fumbles on the 1 yard line, Nathaniel Hackett kind of sabotaging the end drive. I'm just going to swallow it here and say, I'm going to follow the trends. And I still believe the Broncos are that much better.
Okay. This was my number four. Would have been higher.
10 points is a lot.
If it was 9.5, I think it could have been higher. The thing is like the Broncos offense actually was really not that bad. You know, I mean, yeah. this is not high level analysis. Like they fumbled on the yard on the 1 yard line twice. Russ didn't look great, but I mean, you know, the touchdown to Judy in particular was not a good throw, but Judy and Sutton both looked really good. The running backs looked good. The offensive line looked good. Like, Russ was really not running for his life in that game, which had to have felt weird for him. Maybe he was just spooked by not running for his life on every snap. But, and the Texans are bad. Like, I'm not taking anything away from their competitive game against the Colts. Like, they're just not a very good team.
Yeah, the interesting about that Monday night was, you know, kind of everyone was talking about, well, is this offense going to look like every other Russell Wilson offense? And it kind of largely did. It wasn't really any different, you know, outside of just having more protection. I mean, he was 26th in the NFL in throws inside the hashes. He was 33rd in rate of throws inside the numbers. Like, this is all like Russell Wilson stuff. And he was 9th in the NFL deep passing rate. Like, this is what Russ does. The one thing that was different is he did check it down a lot to Javonte Williams, much to our chagrin in our main event team that had Jerry Jeudy versus Javonte Williams heads up. That last catch passed us.
Yeah.
Passed us. And Jeudy dropped a pass the last drive too, which was pretty
awesome. Pretty annoying.
But yeah, the offense was like Russell Wilson just in a new uniform. He was running the Russell Wilson thing again.
Yeah, our buddy Josh Norris posted the passing chart of Russell Wilson's last year in Seattle in his first game. Or not the chart, the heat map of where the targets came from. And it was all cold in the center, you know, all blue in the center, all red on the outside, which is like, I mean, you know, I guess you would rather them just run what Russell Wilson is comfortable with than try and put a round peg into a square hole with Russell Wilson. So feel pretty good about, and they're just there. And also, like, you know, if you want to play a narrative angle, if you enjoy the narrative angles for your bets, they just lost to Russell Wilson's old team. And Nathaniel Hackett had to spend the entire week being like, yep, I messed up. I lost the first game. Yeah, deservedly. But so there will be a little bit of motivation to lay the hammer down. All right. My number five, I took a huge line as well. I have the San Francisco 49ers -8.5 points against the Seattle Seahawks. Two layers to this. The first layer being, I just don't think the Seattle Seahawks are going to play that way for the entire season. Would love to be wrong, but I think we are going to see a much, like, you know, they were doing play action and going for it on fourth down, and like Pete Carroll, I don't think wants to play that way. It seemed very anomalous. Maybe I'll be wrong. You know, Shane Waldron does come from that McVay tree, so maybe he is pretty good and has a larger say on the offense now because he doesn't have a franchise quarterback to contend with. But also, they're just not very good. I mean, the defense was giving what Denver was like over 7 yards per play, 6.1 yards per rushing attempt, like 8.2 yards per pass. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'll say this on Lance. He definitely made some throws that I didn't think he could make. In particular, the one completion to I can't remember if it was Ayuk or Juwan Jennings on the sideline. It was like a really nice throw. Now, obviously, Lance is probably going to have like one hilariously bad interception or something in this game, because that's kind of what he does. He's playing. He's like a hair on fire quarterback, you know. But I don't know. I think they're just going to run the ball all over them and get out of here with a big win.
Yeah, I didn't put this one on there, but yeah, this one feels like a token, like, we'll pull you in with people that want to back Seattle.
Totally, right? Like, yes.
So, like, yeah, I would back the 49ers side. I mean, I'm real curious to see how Shanahan plays it. I've talked about it on a couple shows already this week, but I want – because this is, like, a token spot. Like, it's just a layup for them to, like, him to, like, instill confidence in Lance. And I'm really curious if he does – if he plays it that way. Like if he just like says like, all right, we'll run the ball, get out of here. We won't really put Lance at risk, but like, it feels like a spot, like given everything that's happened to Lance the last month, like you would want to like get him going.
You want to jazz him up.
Right. And I'm curious to see if Shanahan does that. You know, you obviously keep Garoppolo. He's got to answer those questions. He didn't really play good in the preseason. Doesn't play great in week one, has what the photos, the video come of him out of him during the week at the.
Yeah. Baller. Balling it up.
I mean,
yeah.
He's just practicing taking snaps under center is what I saw. That's how I viewed it.
So. We love to see it, Trey Lance. I mean, I'm still rooting for him. I'm still. I mean, it does bear repeating. He is 22 years old. He would have been the youngest quarterback other than Matt Corral if in this quarterback class. He at this age, Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow was maybe even still at Ohio State at 22. And Mahomes had not started an NFL game yet. Like he's really young. Mm-hmm. So there's still room. I think Lance is probably bad right now, but I'm not selling all my stock at 50% off yet.
No. I think you got to at least, I know it feels like you just keep making a continuous run of excuses.
Just excuse that, right.
But I do really feel like we got to at least like throw out even just the Justin Fields side of last week too. Like, I don't think anyone should really have a lot of like,
I'm pumping bags on Justin Fields, 'cause I'm such a Fields truther. And I mean,
I'm saying to come away negative on either quarterback last week, I feel like it's just like overplaying, just because, I mean, dude, that field should be banned. Like, no one should ever have to play on Soldier Field, especially when it's raining like that.
Yeah. I mean, and it might rain again this weekend, apparently. which would be hilarious. All right. So we did my number five. We did my number four. What is your number four?
Oh, you're going to hate this one. I'm going with the Panthers. Panthers plus points here at the Giants. Listen, the Giants were still horrendous last.
No, year. I don't. Oh, I would never. Yeah. I hate the Giants. The Giants are my least favorite NFL franchise. I would never hate this.
I mean, the Giants were really bad last week, and it's cool that they got to, you know, pulled out the story. Daniel Jones tried to lose them the game with another red zone interception at the end of that game, but they were awful. Like, their success rate per play, it was just horrendous. And I still think when you look at it from a top down view, there's not one piece of one unit involved in this game where the Panthers don't have an edge. They have the better quarterback. They have better wide receivers. They have a better offensive line. They have better defense. The only probably one area is backing Matt Rhule. That's like where the one like little.
He just, everything he says sounds so donkey.
It does, man.
It's so bad. Yeah.
But, I mean, I want to kind of short the Giants, though. I still just think the Panthers are outright a better football team than them. And then catching points, I'm going to take them. And I don't feel great about it, but that's it. That's all I got.
And the Giants, I think, are totally going to take away the wrong lesson from their win last week, too, where they didn't play Kadarius Toney. And it's like, I just don't – you're not going to play winning football playing David Sills 42 snaps and not earning a target. Like, you got to get – you're just not going to win with Richie James, David Sills, and Kenny Galladay as your three wide receivers. Like,
Saquon just outright won them that game.
Yeah.
Like, how can you – I mean, and I love that.
Gettleman is vindicated, bro.
I love the draft stock where you could draft Saquon this year. I was all in on him. But, like, how many 70-yard plays are you going to get a week?
Hope, like, one. If they get one a week, that'll be pretty good for them. Yeah,
I mean, they tried to hide Daniel Jones the entire game. That
was the biggest signal to me for fantasy football stuff, was we kind of, you know, Daniel Jones, Trendy, Galladay, mm-hmm. Wandale, all that stuff. And it's like, oh, you know, maybe this will work out. They'll run the Bills style off. No, it's not happening. It is for sure not happening. They are going to make Daniel Jones, you know, they got the Ian Book game plan for Daniel Jones, basically.
Yeah, I'm not confident at all that, but I mean, my son is super Jack. You know, I've long documented on this podcast. My son's a Giants fan. He believes they're going to be 4-0. So, because they got Cowboys, Bears, I think, after this.
Well, they are going to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys with Cooper Rush are going to be an incredibly tough scene.
Will we be talking about them at some point?
I can't take the Bengals without T. Plus seven.
He's there. T is practiced today already.
Oh, okay. I started Palmer over T in two teams last night, just because the alternative of taking, you know, it would have been like Treylon Burks or, you know, Treylon Burks type if T ended up not playing, which is like 13, whatever, from Palmer. I mean, not the end of the world. He obviously got very lucky to get there in the end. So that was my, or that
I have
was
your- the Bengals. On mine, but I will say the one thing that does, it makes you a little nervous, is historically, if you go like the old Vegas mongers, like, they'll always tell you to like not bet on a team that played in overtime that goes on the road the next week. That's like a spot they always look for. And like, that's, the Bengals played a full extra, they ran 100 plays.
They ran 100 plays, dude.
And they're going on the road laying seven. Like, I've still got them as my two, but like, it is, I will say, bringing up like long historical trends. Like, it's a spot like the old Vegas Sharks always look for to catch something on.
Yeah. We already did my number four. So my two teams are San Francisco and Denver. Okay. So what is your three?
My three is Who did I have as three? Oh, I've got Washington, another team that just bleeds better and is catching points.
Detroit's got the cluster injury right now. Three offensive linemen hurt. That seems bad.
And Washington, I generally just don't believe is like that bad. I mean, you look at the last 2 years, they won 7 games, you know, both those years. Like, they weren't just like awful. Like, they weren't a bottom run team. And we saw like in week one, like, they have legit talent now. Like, they've got good offensive players. They actually do.
I mean, McLaurin, Dotson, healthy Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson is very good. Those are good skill position players.
Yeah, the offensive line's not bad. I mean, the defense stinks, but you're not necessarily like that, like, threatened by here with Jared Goff. And the Lions, we saw in week one again, like, they're just a team that is still got, they're just still making growing steps. Like, they're not there yet. I feel like everyone's wanted to push the Lions probably like a lane further than where they really are. I feel really good about the progress they're making, but like, people are trying to like pick them as like playoff teams. Like, they were getting flooded the entire game last week. I know people look at that final score, and we had the Eagles and they ended up covering that game because the Lions somehow end up doing with their dogs. They always cover, but
yes,
they were down 3 scores basically the entire game, you know, until the end there. So, I mean, I just think Washington's a better team. I think Washington outright wins the game. It's just another spot where I'm just going to take the points on a team I believe is better.
This one did not make my list because betting on Carson Wentz, I just hate Carson Wentz. He's just one of those guys I absolutely hate. But I mean, I also hate Goff too. Like, those are two of my least favorite guys to wager on.
The one thing that we knew though, like with the Wentz taking over for Heineke, was like, hey, like, Wentz is eventually going to bone you guys. He's not a franchise quarterback. But the one thing he was actually really good at last year was downfield passing.
Six 20 plus in week one.
And then we saw that in week one. Like, he's got playmakers. Like, he's gonna chuck it, man.
He is going to chuck it. And instead of, you know, Desmond Patton and Mike Strachan, he's got Jahan Dotson, who, I mean, Jahan Dotson on his touchdown, the first one, he cooked that poor defensive back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, just cooked him. So I just feel like high on Dotson. I think he's pretty good. And I was probably a little bit too low on him. My number three, you're not gonna like this one, but is the Baltimore Ravens -3.5. And you're gonna be off. I know for a fact you're gonna be off this one because the Ravens, I think it's like all their cornerbacks just got dysentery and died there. I think their top 4 corners are out against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. To which I would say, Harbaugh, great coach. I'm not taking anything away from their sluggish first half against the Jets last week. I think it was totally a case of Harbaugh being a good conservative coach saying, let's just get out of here. It's fine. Like, guys, it's the Jets. We don't need to stress you hard. Now, there was really encouraging stuff for Miami in week one, number one team in pass rate over expected. We didn't see any of the, we got to control the ball, control the clock type stuff. But, I mean, Lamar throwing like no look 40-yard bomb touchdown passes is like, that is a new level for him to unlock. And I just don't think that's represented by these lines yet. Like, I think we're going to get to a spot where like the Ravens are just going to be 7-point favorites against like everyone, basically.
Yeah, I'm not on this game. I am on this game though for the under. I like the under.
I can see that.
This is probably going to be one of the slower paced games of the week. The Dolphins in general were the slowest paced team in week one. They just run so much motion. They just don't run it. You know what I mean? Like, there's like dudes moving before the snap in every place. They just never snap anything fast. The Ravens still, I want to see them get healthier. I believe the Ravens are going to get a lot better as the season goes on, because the offense was kind of what I thought it would be early in the season. Like, they hit the shot plays, but they just don't have enough talent to come together. Now they're going to get Dobbins back, and like, once Bateman's up to speed, Bateman didn't play a lot either in week one, which was kind of weird.
That's what, no, yeah. I'm telling you, dude, that was total dress rehearsal for them, is my
opinion. I'm fine with that. So I believe they're a team that I believe is going to ramp up, and they're going to get healthier on defense, you know, because they're going to get Marcus Peters back. They'll get some guys back. But also on our site, you know, I hit it on the site, we have a guy, Joe Gibbs, that writes like a referee article. The referee in this game is Adrian Hill. In career, his games are 67% towards the under, and he's also officiated 8 games with the Ravens, and they're 6-2 towards the under in those games too. So Joe wrote this article last week and every single one of his picks hit. So I'm just going to follow him and probably take.
Wow. Okay. There we go. I mean, I think the Ravens are probably suited to an under hitting here because that just means that Tua is having a nightmare.
What do you think week one, Tua, man?
I am, you would not think this by me picking the Ravens here, but I've always been above market on Tua because quarterbacks can always learn to make better decisions. They can improve their downfield passing. I forget whose big talking point this is. I should give them credit. It's Hermsmeyer, I think, actually, is that quarterbacks really don't become more accurate. It's just kind of an innate skill. You give the guy the football and you say, you know, hit the stop sign from 20 yards away. And like, either you can do it or you can't. And Tua is super accurate. I mean, you know what, and, you know, McDaniel for what, I mean, does seem to have faith in him. Like does not seem to be like, oh, you know, maybe we got to call him Teddy Bridgewater one of these weeks. Like, seems like they're pretty all in on, and I mean, I think the, what was it? 13 targets in week one for Tyreek is a pretty good indication of like, yeah, we're just going to get the ball into Waddle and Tyreek's hands and let them do their thing. But like, obviously Tua is not the genre of quarterback that we're into now, like the athletic guy who makes plays out of the pocket. Like he can't do that, but I don't see any reason, like if we're all falling all over ourselves to compliment Mac Jones's rookie year, like I'd so much rather have Tua than Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a bad week one for that 2021 rookie quarterback class. But like I said, that obviously two of those guys play heads up in a monsoon. But, you know, Lawrence did his Lawrence thing. Obviously, Zach Wilson didn't play, and Mac Jones.
We're gonna start having a conversation about Trevor Lawrence pretty soon, I think.
I mean, I brought this up to Denny, and like I remember him coming out and, you know, my prospect model, his two highest comps were Jared Goff and Teddy Bridgewater. And like, I can't shake that now. Like, I'm like, because, you know, he was treated like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, you know, coming out.
Oh, but people were saying he was better than Andrew Luck.
And, you know, I remember him like being questioned. I think I was talking to Matthew Friedman at the time, and it was like, is he even the best quarterback in this class? Like, and, you know, it's interesting how it's played out so far because he was not good again in week one. And, you know, it seems that no one cares that like he hasn't been good.
Nope, nobody cares. No one. Everyone
just seems like it's a given. Like he'll just eventually be good.
I mean, people did this with Andrew Luck too. Like Luck had a 7.2 YPA in the NFL. Luck never really delivered on the promise that people put on him. And to the day he retired, people were still like, he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks or whatever.
But Lawrence, at least like Luck had some moments, man. Like. Lawrence hasn't given us those.
Well, Luck won. What, he won that road, the comeback road playoff game in Kansas City.
They went
City.
To the playoffs his first year, right?
Yeah, they won 11 games. He won 11 games each of his first three seasons and led the NFL in touchdowns in 2014.
Yeah. So I mean, he at least had all that going for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawrence is like, I mean, buddy, they spent money to get, you know. I mean, I guess they spent money on Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. It's not like he's throwing to AJ Brown, but. What can we do? All right. So that was my three. What's your three?
My three was Washington and my two was the Bengals. And again, you know, a lot of people bring up the Cooper Rush start from last year where he was competent, but like that team had, well, first of all, he threw two touchdowns in that game. Neither of those two players are on the team anymore. Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson both caught touchdowns in that game. He had Tyron Smith playing in that game. He also had Connor Williams, who obviously left via free agency. The Cowboys also had another offensive lineman get injured last week, but it looks like they're going to be forced.
McGovern.
It looks like they're going to be forced to try to make this Jason Peters thing happen, and they move Tyler Smith to left guard. I believe that's going to be the plan, but we'll see. And then again, like we just talked about, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Is CeeDee Lamb the Trevor Lawrence wide receivers? Like,
oh, dude. Ryan McDowell posted the dunk of all dunks on CeeDee Lamb. I gotta go find it. I mean, CeeDee, it was something along the lines of in CeeDee's last 14 games, he's averaged like 9.2 PPR points.
Yeah, well, he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 10 of last year. He has five or fewer catches in his last five games played.
I don't think I would go that far. I would say instead of being AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb might be like Tyler Boyd, maybe is like really good secondary guy who's like unreal as a third, but could catch 80 passes as your second guy, but miscast to being, you know, you're one. Yeah.
It is going to be, yeah, he's going to be another guy. I think
this part of the reason I was so bullish on Gallup, honestly, was like the, if CD is not the guy. I mean, Gallup has shown that when in that role, he can win on the perimeter. CD can't really win on the perimeter, and Gallup.
Yeah, that's what we haven't seen yet. I tell you what, though, I would be trading for him because of some of these trades I've seen for him. Like Dak is coming back.
Oh, I traded CD away in my home league. It's a keeper league, so we get to keep one guy. CD was my keeper at around $5 price tag, and I traded him away for a fourth round pick next season, which is like a fifth round pick. Just the pick.
So you have nobody, you just got a pick for him.
My team sucks. I did horrible in the draft this year. You know, when you draft a team and you're just like, this shit ain't it. I mean, I had to start Ramondre Stevenson last week. Like it's just not a very good team, but I'm also, so it's like combination being bearish on Dak coming back and being bearish on CD being that good of a player, even in that eventuality. I mean, he got 11 targets against the wide receiver screen pass they threw to him in the first quarter. I was like, that's a DeAndre Carter mistake that you just made on that screen. Not coming up with that. Like it was, I don't know. I was also tilting.
Yeah, I had a bunch of money in the Bucks and we were texting about it. So I was like,
Cowboys stink, bro. They just stink. It's been a total talent drain. Like they just have no talent left. Like all their good players.
Well, Micah Parsons is dope at least. I mean, but how excited are you about having like the best defensive player? But Micah Parsons is awesome.
Best defensive player on a 5-win team. You know, congratulations.
I knew you were disastrous. I knew you were going to take it somewhere like that. But yeah,
it's like, the, I mean, I just have given up on the Cowboys. Like, I can't even say I'm really a fan anymore.
I've seen a bunch of like promising. Now, I couldn't get any of these offers in the, like, what I tried to do for CeeDee Lamb. But like, I saw some people like they were like getting like trading Drake London for him. And those are trades I think I would do. And just because you probably aren't using Drake London on the team. So you can, so that means that team probably doesn't need CeeDee Lamb to come in and be like an alpha on your team. You can probably treat him as like a wide receiver three for, you know, 5 to 6 weeks or, you know, what it takes. Then you get Dak for the stretch run and you maybe have something cooking there. But a lot of teams that are trading away Lamb drafted Lamb as their wide receiver one, and they're trying to get something back to at least proxy that. And that can't happen. But I feel like if I'm a team that has one of these like fringe guys that maybe it was like, okay, that's like a wide receiver three or wide receiver four early in the season, I would try to get Lamb on those rosters.
Yes. Yeah. I think that is accurate. I mean, it just depends on what you like. I also had Godwin on this team. So I had no one to start.
What
yeah.
A bummer, so, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge bummer. Okay. My number two is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Which I actually like waffled on this. I was like, I don't know, are the Saints a good spot? The thing is about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is like they are just going to handle these teams until everyone gets healthy. They're just going to play professional football. They're not going to make mistakes. And it's like, I mean, they were trailing for 3.5 quarters to the foul. I don't think they led in that game until they kicked, right? I think it was one of those where like they weren't winning until the clock expired. And it's like, this is one I could totally feel stupid on where it's like, oh, Jameis just cooked and, you know, the Buccaneers are throwing to Scotty Miller and Cam Bray and it just doesn't work out for them. And we know Brady has a really sensitive relationship to his pass catchers. Like, you know, I'll never forget his last pass as a Patriot being a pick six against the Tennessee Titans and then looking so good for the Buccaneers. But I mean, also Julio looked quite spry. That was one of my big week one surprises was who had Julio Jones end around for a 12-yard gain, like on their bingo card. Certainly not me. Yeah. And it's really just a Brady versus Jameis thing.
This one is another one. I like the under, I think is the move in this game. You know, both teams, the Bucs are particularly banged up. They lost another offensive lineman in Donovan Smith. The defense is still good. You know, obviously they didn't really get to showcase much of that because the Cowboys were that bad and they really didn't have to do a lot, but you know, the defense is still good. All the moving parts they had defensively, like they replaced good players with good players. Like they lost Ndamukong Suh, they got Akeem Hicks. The defense will be really good. So the offense though is kind of a question mark. So it felt like they just got by last week against the Cowboys. And they said they lost another, defensive or offensive tackle. Saints defense, like, kind of got, like, it took them a while to adjust to all, like, that pistol stuff, like, the Falcons were doing. But they got it together in the second half. But the one thing I can't shake about the Saints is for three quarters of that game, they were, like, the worst offense in the NFL. Like, until we saw the Cowboys play, they had two passing first downs through three quarters against the
Atlanta. I mean, they Falcons. Just kept kicking field goals. The Buccaneers just kept kicking field goals. It was so annoying.
Oh, no, I was the Bucs. I'm talking about the Saints.
Yeah.
Against the Falcons. Like, they had two passing first downs through three quarters that game against the Falcons. And then, like, the jailbreak scenario, I don't know if it woke them up. They actually figured something out. But, like, I have a hard time, like, shaking that. So, I do like the under, though, in this game.
Yeah. All right. I guess let's see if we get to our number one and if we have the same one. What's your number one?
My one is the Rams.
Oh, wait. Did we skip your two?
No, it was the Cowboys.
Okay. It was the Bengals. Okay. So, wow. My number one is not even on your list.
No, mine's not. Wasn't on yours then.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. We are not in lockstep to start the year. So then we just gave a lot of picks. I hope they're good. Okay. So your number one is the Rams, which is just basically the Falcons stink. And I just didn't want to take too many 10-pointers, but I'm totally with you here.
Like, yeah, Rams are gonna smash. This is – so a lot of people have been saying that last week's Packers are what – like last year, right? Like, remember the Packers came out and got flooded last year in week one, and like, this year looked bad. But I think that's the Rams. Like, none of these guys played in the preseason. We dealt with, like, the whole, like, Stafford thing. They just got absolutely bomb-blasted by the Bills. The Bills' defensive game plan was so good. Matthew Stafford had no time. He was completely rattled. I mean, that game was an absolute massacre. And the only reason the Rams even scored is because James Cook fumbled the ball and Isaiah McKenzie handed the ball off to someone off of an interception, basically. But this Rams team reminds me a lot of what happened to the Packers last year. Like, you come out, you get absolutely just blasted week one, and they have a full rest advantage. Under Sean McVay, the Rams are 11-4-1 against the spread with a rest advantage. They're getting them off of a loss. They're at home still. It's just a spot where I expect the Rams. Now, if I'm completely wrong about this, like, I'm gonna be real nervous about this the rest of the way. And I'll be ready.
Yes, good, very, very good point. If the Rams can't handle business here, it's time.
This is a layup spot. They have rest advantage. You're at home. You kind of got to knock the rust off. Like, McVay never plays any of these guys in the preseason. And I think you talked about it a little bit after the show, because they'd already played by this point we recorded, about how they sometimes have been kind of wishy-washy in the week one games. And I mean, listen, Arthur Smith,
he ain't. Bad. Yeah, bad. I got no problem with this one. I just didn't want to take another game with 10 points and feeling a little bit more scared that this offensive line stuff is going to take them time to figure out too. Maybe they just play a little bit more conservatively here because they're worried about the offensive line. Like, I mean, teams do this when they have offensive line injuries. They just play slow and what. But I mean, if they are even like 78% of last year's Rams, they're gonna smoke them here. My number one is the Las Vegas Raiders. My evidence would be the Chiefs looked like the worst offense in the NFL last night, and they were wrapped up with the Arizona Cardinals by the third quarter. Rondale Moore remains out. I mean, Greg Dortch is the chalk play in DFS. And maybe the other interesting thing is the Raiders had the ball with the chance to win at the end, even in a game Derek Carr played like shit, because Devontae Adams and Darren Waller really are that good. You know, that's an interesting element is, like, the Packers lose Devontae Adams and Rodgers plays like his worst regular season game ever. And then, Devontae Adams shows up with a 48% market share of targets against a great defense. And now it's like, what it was, the Cardinals played like the most snaps of man coverage in the NFL last week and just got obliterated by the Chiefs. And obviously Derek Carr is not Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, the Raiders are going to score 32 points here.
Yeah, this is a great spot for the Raiders. And the Cardinals are what we talked about last week. Everything played out exactly kind of how we said it would be. Like, this team has just no talent. Like, they're just it's been stripped, and it's not all their fault. They're going to get guys back along the way, but this did not on defense. The defense is just awful. And it looked awful on paper coming in. And people forget that the Cardinals defense was awful to close last season
too. Yes.
Like, if you go back and look at season long stats, the Cardinals look fine, but like the last seven games, like they were terrible on defense, and they lost some starters from that piece, that that unit and didn't upgrade anywhere. They didn't bring guys in. And they got a year older, like they're, you know, and it's just, you saw Isaiah Simmons. He couldn't, man, this dude, like, he's out of, like, he's probably going to be out of the league. Like, he probably might not get a second contract in the league. Like, he looks like he's just completely lost defensively.
Well, aren't they playing him out of position though?
Well, that's the thing about, that's what kind of like where his draft stock was, is there kind of people didn't know what position to play him at. He was like a tweener guy. And he hasn't had success at either spot, linebacker or safety. So
why don't they just do the Micah Parsons thing with him and just be like, you're going to rush the passer 75% of the time and play linebacker 25% of the time.
I don't know enough, being a film guy, but
I don't know either.
He's not, especially a defensive film guy, but I would suggest that he's not nowhere near the level of Micah Parsons as a pass rusher. And that's why it doesn't.
Oh, happen, well, but... well, obviously he's not that good, but I don't know. I mean, it just feels like a good defensive coach would be able to get their hands on that guy and turn him into something. Again, I don't know anything about defense, but just I just remember watching his college stuff because he was expected to be such a high pick and just being like, oh, guy looks pretty gnarly to me. Maybe it's just that he was a defensive player who wore single digits. Guys who wear the single digits just look better.
I think he just got by on being a better athlete than most of his competition, but like didn't know how to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, but you see it in the books, like the Cardinals are getting, like, you see the reaction of the Cardinals, like their team total is not even good. Cause there'd be spots where they'd be dogs, but like still have like a 24, 25 point team total. Like they're not even getting that kind of like love. Cause they don't have anybody on offense either. I mean, they were bad on offense the entire game. They got some garbage touchdowns, but Kyler threw for under 6 yards for pass attempt. The offensive line couldn't block.
It was Greg Dortch 2.2, you know, ADOT. That was their offense.
And Ertz, it looks like he's going to play, but how much do we count on him? They're going to be without Rondale again. It's not great, man.
Rondale, no Hopkins.
And I already see people trying to talk themselves into James Conner for DFS again.
Don't do it.
So James Conner got there because he got the touchdown, but I mean, dude, he has rushed for under 4 yards per carry in 6 of his past 7 games going back in the last year. Like, if he doesn't score a touchdown for you most weeks, like, this team is just not going to breed efficiency.
It's Eno, dude. Eno is going to start playing more.
He's expensive too. I'm not, because people are trying to find ways to kind of cross stack this game and maybe not play Dortch, but like, how do you just not play Dortch and just say whatever?
Just take your 500. Yeah, take your 14 points, play Dortch.
Yeah, he's 3,500. Take your 12 points and be happy.
Yeah. What's your big angle for DFS? I'm hoping to do the Washington Detroit game, but I don't know what ownership is getting. Like, ownership might get a little bit too high.
I talked a lot about that game with Holka on his show. You know, that game being potentially kind of like a sneaky, you know, early over. It's gonna be a massive late swap slate for sure, because you look at these 4 o'clock games, all the chalks at 4 o'clock, all the Raiders play at 4, Bengals D is at 4, which is gonna be 100% at 1 o'clock. We'll see what it ends up
at. I'm playing the Cowboys defense for truly maximum leverage.
Well, I mean, the thing is with the Bengals is they play at 4, so you just put them in your lineup. And then
figure it out.
And then you just wait and see how your 1 o'clock guys did. And if you need to come off the chalk, you come off the chalk. But yeah, they'll be super high on it. And then you've got like the 40. Oh, the Broncos dudes too, because they all got grandfathered in because they played on Monday night. All their guys are super cheap. Russ on FanDuel, I think, is like the QB 14 in pricing on the main slate. But like Sutton and Judy are both cheap on really sites. Okwuegbunam is going to be pretty popular. So it's gonna be a big time swap, and at 1 o'clock, like, what the hell is there? Like, you're gonna hope that your Saquon bags hit at 1 o'clock, see how those went. But it's gonna be a big late swap slate.
I mean, we love a good
Daryl Henderson. Good... Are you doing the Daryl Henderson?
Fuck no. I mean, I'm playing him in cash, obviously, but no, 0% in tournaments. I will just play you always go wide receiver in your flex in tournaments in general. Mm-hmm. What about dusty tight ends? You know, Higby chalk week, Albert O chalk week.
Waller. I'm just going to play. Well, I want to just play them both, you know, give me Waller, because Waller's the same price as Kyle Pitts on DraftKings.
Yeah.
And people want to keep talking themselves into Kyle Pitts. That's fine. Eventually he's going to get there, but like, I'm just going to play the team with that we just talked about. Like, we're expecting the Raiders to absolutely flood the Cardinals. And we just talked about Isaiah Simmons and how he guarded Travis Kelce. Like, I'm just going to play Waller and Adams together.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That's actually true. Yeah, Derek Carr just throws for 400 yards, no problem.
And Carr will be the chalky quarterback, but I think that's fine. I think he's fine to eat in cash.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's 62. Because remember, we look at that, what happened to the quarterbacks now. It's either you want to pay up for Lamar or Kyler or Ross, and then it's wide open because Josh Allen's not here. Mahomes and Herbert played last night. We got Hurts on Monday night.
I mean, I saved myself some good money with Mahomes not being on the main slate because I definitely would have done my main GPP team would have been Mahomes, Juju with the Mike Williams bring back, and I would have been dead with Mahomes or with Juju's 3-for-10 or whatever.
Chargers played man coverage and 45% of snaps last night. They clearly did not give a shit about any of those wide receivers.
Yeah, I got to say, there's been a lot of panic on Juju specifically. Now, MVS seems dead.
I think Juju's still more or less fine, but we're going to have to deal with stuff like last night.
They're just not good. Well, you will, but I mean, how many, like, okay, Chiefs schedule for the rest of the season. How many more games are they going to play wimpy? They're not going to play that wimpy offense against the Colts. They'll score 30 against the Colts. They might do the wimp offense against the Buccaneers. They're at Tampa Bay. They might do the, you know, hand the ball off to Mecole Hardman on 3rd-and-2 offense there. They'll be all out against the Raiders. They'll do the wimpy offense against the Chiefs, all out against the Fort, and especially in the playoffs, they go Texans, Seahawks, Broncos. So, no, I would not sweat it, but you just got to understand. My opinion would be the Chiefs have transitioned from like we're the young, fun, we score all these touchdowns to this is Brady and Belichick saying all that matters is getting to the Super Bowl every year. Like they're just trying to get out of these games with wins.
I think you saw that last night when they kicked that field goal, man.
100%.
The 4th-and-1 field goal, because it looked like they were going to go for it. They go, the third quarter ends, they come out and kick the field goal to tie the game. And then right then, the Chargers go right back down the field, and that's when they get the 99-yard interception return. But, like, the Chargers immediately just went right back down the field. And it was like, oh, man, they should not have kicked that. And then obviously it works out, but, you know. when they kicked that field goal, it was like that vibe of like, all right, let's just kind of keep things tight. It's a bummer that the Nerds canceled Brandon Staley after 1 year because,
man, they really canceled. It's like unbelievable. This dude got mega canceled.
It was sad. Like it was sad.
And
to see.
And like, the press conference too. I mean, that press, he was like, oh, you know, we have to trust the defense. Cause like guy sounded like Herm fucking Edwards at this press conference. It was terrible, man.
Yeah. He's out here coming after his press conference last week. And he's like, I'm ready to take all the smoke. That was not the guy that had the press conference last night.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Also, in Greg Dortch news, Andy Isabella just ruled out.
I love that in Greg Dortch news.
Yeah. All right, man.
We
got to do it. Tell the people, Sharp Angle, Sharp Football Analysis, where can they go get all the good stuff this week?
Yeah, Sharp Football Analysis. First week where I got to actually write the worksheet based on things that happened, which was really cool to dig into a bunch of data and stuff that happened. Like I said, we've got some great stuff on the site. Dan Pizzuto's writing articles based on, if you like real football stuff, there's real good real football stuff over there. Yeah, like I said, Joe Gibbs has that referee article, which I find super intriguing. I'm super into stuff like that. So definitely go check that stuff out.
All right, there we go. Everyone, Lord Reeves, Sharp Football, Sharp Angles, and we'll be back next week.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.